It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Deadly shooting at a Naval Air Station.
Walking through the crime scene was like being on the set of a movie. You just don't expect this to happen at home.
That is our top story at noon today. Four people are dead, including the gunman, after a shooting today at the U.S. Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida.
This doesn't happen in Escambia County. It doesn't happen in Pensacola. It doesn't happen to our friends and neighbors who are members of the United States Navy. But it did.
Escambia County Sheriff David Morgan, correspondent Cammy McCormick is at the Pentagon this afternoon.
This sprawling base employs thousands, both military and civilian, and it's home to the Blue Angels. This shooting follows one at Pearl Harbor earlier this week. A sailor killed two people before taking his own life.
That's Cammy McCormick reporting. President Trump has been briefed on today's shooting in Pensacola, where Sheriff Morgan says it will take some time for that community to recover.
We ask for the prayers of the community, and we ask for the assistance of the press. We have grieving families at this moment.
Again, three people shot and killed at the U.S. Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. This morning, several others have been wounded. The gunman also dead. Terror for motorists in South Florida who were caught in the middle of a gunfight between police and two men who stole a UPS truck. Correspondent David Begno was on the scene.
They led police on a high-speed chase, swerving around vehicles multiple times to avoid capture. But when they hit bumper-to-bumper traffic, they had no option but to stop. And that's when the police moved in, appearing to use some of the bystander vehicles as shields.
David Begno reporting from South Florida, the FBI describing the deadly results.
The suspects are now deceased, but two additional innocent civilians were also deceased.
One of the dead, the UPS driver, and his family today blaming police. Security analyst Paul Violas.
It may very well come out that the UPS driver was killed in the gunfire, and it may come out that it was from a police officer's bullet. There's no question about that. The fact is, no one knows yet.
Authorities say they were fired on first. A rough ride for Uber.
The public has a right to know, and secrecy about the hardest issues that we face doesn't make anyone safer.
The ride-sharing company releasing a disturbing report today detailing thousands of cases of sexual assault. Uber spokeswoman Brooke Anderson.
If you want to improve something, you have to measure it.
Anderson says nearly 6,000 cases of sexual assault have been reported the past 2 years involving Uber passengers and drivers. Fez Siddiqui is a technology reporter at the Washington Post.
These are some very alarming figures. It suggests that there is a huge societal problem.
Uber says it's rolling out new safety measures that will allow riders to verify their driver with a secure PIN code and will also allow them to contact emergency officials before their ride is over. In Minnesota, a Black Hawk helicopter on a maintenance test flight crashed in a field near St. Cloud, killing all three National Guard soldiers on board.
On behalf of all Minnesotans, we offer our deepest sympathies to the families of these warriors. They paid the ultimate price in service to Minnesota and to the United States of America.
That's Governor Tim Walz. The crew sent out a distress signal 9 minutes after takeoff. Today's jobs report shows the U.S. economy booming once again. The government says 266,000 new jobs were added last month. Analysts were only expecting 180,000.
This actually argues for a pretty good holiday spending season.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
There does not appear to be any single area that stands out or any single reason for the job gains. What we see is broad-based monthly gains in healthcare and in professional and technical services. We also saw employment in manufacturing go up. Of course, that was the return of those workers from the strike at GM.
The jobless rate now at a 50-year low at 3.5%. Now to the impeachment saga. The House Judiciary Committee will start writing up articles of impeachment next week after getting the go-ahead from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday. Correspondent Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill.
President Trump is facing a deadline of 5 p.m. today to decide whether White House counsel will participate in future House impeachment hearings, like the one that's scheduled in the Judiciary Committee on Monday, where members will be presented with all the evidence that has been gathered so far that Democrats say shows that the president pressured Ukraine by withholding military aid.
That's Nancy Cordes on Capitol Hill this afternoon. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court considering whether the Constitution gives homeless people the right to sleep on the sidewalk. The justices considering an appeal to a lower court ruling that said it was cruel and unusual punishment to enforce criminal laws against homeless people if a city does not offer enough shelters. Teenagers apparently not getting the message when it comes to the dangers of tobacco.
As popularity of vaping climbs, one-third of American teens, according to the CDC, say they smoke some form of tobacco, including cigarettes or cigarillos. Researchers say concerns over nicotine addiction among teens are not limited to e-cigarettes. Young people generally don't seem alarmed over e-cigs, despite questions about vaping-related illnesses and deaths. Public health officials are concerned, saying that past progress in weaning teens away from these products has been wiped out.
That's Gary Nunn reporting. Still to come this Friday, investigating the Buffalo Diocese. Teacher cuts in Rochester and watch out for the wide load in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. Though some areas are seeing some snow this day, the system producing it departs. Sky's clear, and we've got some weekend sun ahead. I'll be back with the complete forecast in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Friday, December 6th. Legal minds say the Buffalo Diocese could face federal charges in the pre-sex abuse scandal in western New York.
There's no immunity because you're part of the clergy. And of the pattern acts that are available under RICO, it appears that fraud is the only one that would apply. And there's no one who's exempt from it.
Buffalo attorney Paul Cambria says federal authorities are currently investigating the Buffalo Diocese. WKBW reporter Charlie Specht says that investigation will go back years.
Buffalo really kind of pulled off the greatest cover-up in the history of the church here because, you know, it even surpassed Boston in the sense that it stayed quiet after Boston. Boston broke in 2003. There were dioceses around the country that, you know, hundreds who exploded with this abuse, but they were able to keep it under wraps here. They did such a good job sort of keeping it quiet.
The man picked by the Pope to replace Bishop Richard Malone will be in the Queen City tomorrow to meet with abuse victims. Albany Bishop Edward Scharfenberger says he wants to hear from them as he starts his ministry in Buffalo. A Millport, New York couple facing nearly 80 child sex abuse charges. Police say Darlene and John Carling abused a 16-year-old girl, the Chemung County husband and wife, indicted by a grand jury. Authorities say the abuse has been going on since October 28th. Bah humbug. Just weeks before Christmas break today, 152 school teachers in Rochester, New York, started getting those pink slips.
This is probably one of the toughest days I've ever experienced as a leader of any organization. When I say family, I mean family. That is the way I operate. I care about every single individual in this organization.
And Superintendent Terry Dade says the cuts are needed to help fill a $30 million budget gap. He says without them, the budget deficit will balloon to $64 million by the end of the year. Rochester Teachers Union President Adam Urbanski.
This is unnecessary and it's reckless.
The district says it will work with teachers who voluntarily stepped down in Rochester to help them find other jobs across New York. A central Pennsylvania hospital is shutting down. UPMCA in Sunbury, closing its doors along with 150 jobs.
We are Sunbury proud and we're Sunbury strong and we will get through this.
Melissa Rouse lives in that community. She says she's hoping for a Christmas miracle.
And someone else will come in and purchase that Sunbury campus. It might not be a hospital, but it might be something that still will provide jobs to the area.
The hospital in Sunbury has been operating in central Pennsylvania since 1895. The flu on the move in New York.
State Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker says flu cases have been confirmed in 42 of New York's 62 counties, as well as all five boroughs of New York City. There have been 700 flu-related cases that have led to hospitalizations. Back in October, a child from the Rochester area died of flu. It's not yet known if that child was vaccinated. Flu season typically lasts from October through May. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Parents across the Empire State are protesting possible mandatory HPV vaccinations.
Disagreeing with the vaccine being forced because it's an HPV. People aren't forced to have sex. So HPV is not contagious. It's through skin-to-skin contact.
Obviously, everyone has different beliefs and different belief systems, but we've come together. We found an area where we can agree on, and we found common ground, and we all agree that this mandate is a government overreach.
But Erie County Health Commissioner Gail Burstein says the vaccine can save lives.
We know that HPV causes cancer. It is the number one cause of cervical cancer for women. It is the number one cause of oral cancer for men. And actually, oral cancer is a growing problem.
A blackout event taking place yesterday all across New York as parents pulled their kids from school to protest the proposal in Albany that would require elementary-aged kids to be immunized against HPV. University of Buffalo students reaching out to the homeless in their community. Here's Family Life's Dee Helly.
A group of University at Buffalo students spent last night donating boots, socks, foot care kits, and giving medical consultations to homeless people in the area. It's part of the UB Heals program, a street medicine outreach initiative created to increase access to health care for Buffalo's homeless population. UB Heals is a student-run organization that stands for Homeless Health Education Awareness and Leadership. Dee Helly, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. The minimum wage going up starting January 1st in New York. Upstate workers will see their baseline pay bumped up to $12 an hour. New York City workers will get paid $15 an hour starting the first of the year. Watch out for the wide load. Perhaps you've seen it already. A large dryer used in the production of tissue paper on its way from the Port of Erie in northwestern PA to the first quality tissue plant in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. Family Life's Terry Diener says that 300-mile journey will take a little while.
The trip is expected to take until December the 13th and impact traffic in nine Pennsylvania counties. PennDOT says the superload, which will travel at less than 15 miles per hour, will move only during daylight hours, and the trip could be impacted or delayed by winter weather. Roadway message boards will be used to alert drivers of restrictions and travel delays in Erie, Crawford, Venango, Forest, Clarion, Elk, Clearfield, Center, and Clinton counties. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. The city of Harrisburg held an interfaith Christmas tree lighting ceremony last night.
God is asking us not just to worship Him, but to recognize our bond of humanity and empathy and treat all people with respect.
The event was put on by the mayor's Interfaith Advisory Committee and featured speakers from a variety of faiths as well as music from local artists. The Thomas More Society helping folks set up nativity scenes at the seat of government in every state.
We have a goal of placing a nativity scene in state capitals, and we've come close to about half of the state capitals now.
Spokesman Thomas Olip says it's vital that Christians defend their rights in the public square.
Religious speech is just as valuable as political speech, and in a public square, it has every right to be accommodated.
The legal group teaming up with an organization called American Nativity Scene to provide free displays for anyone who wishes to put up one on public property. Big W for the Bears. Sunny time, 2 minute drill.
Yeah, we start in Chicago. Mitchell Trubisky passed for 244 yards and three touchdowns. The Bears beat the Cowboys 31-24. The Bears have won three straight to get to 7-6. The Cowboys have dropped three straight to fall to 6-7. They still lead the NFC East, but Zeke Elliott said,
"We still
can get in the playoffs. But, you know, just the way we've been playing, it's not going to really get us far.
The Pac-12 kicks off championship weekend tonight in college football as number 5 Utah faces off against number 13 Oregon. Tomorrow, Big 12 championship, number 7 Baylor against number 6 Oklahoma. SEC championship, number 4 Georgia and number 2 LSU tangle. In the ACC, number 23 Virginia and the defending national champion, number 3 Clemson Tigers. Big 10, number 1 Ohio State against number 8 Wisconsin. Smaller schools tomorrow, Salisbury and Muhlenberg battling in Allentown. Slippery Rock hosting Notre Dame College. And by the way, if you want to see Buffalo in a bowl game, they're going to the Bahamas on December 20th against Charlotte, the Bahamas Bowl. Nice! In women's college basketball, the ACC Big Ten Challenge Battle of PA, Penn State holding off Pittsburgh 78-73. Syracuse had the lead, but number 24 Michigan comes back to win in overtime 84-76. And the Binghamton ladies, undefeated on the year, 9-0, beating Cornell 59-56. To the ice.
Shoots and scores!
Ryan Pollock with that game winner in overtime. The Owls beat the Golden Knights 3-2. The Owls have won 3 of 4. Flyers' 5-game winning streak comes to an end. Coyotes win 3-1. In Columbus, Rangers get by the Blue Jackets 3-2. In the NBA, the Rockets beat the Raptors 119-109 in Toronto. The Raptors have lost 2 straight at home. Wizards over the 76ers 119-113. And at Madison Square Garden, the Nuggets beat the Knicks 129-92. The Knicks have lost 8 in a row, 4-18 on the year. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, the boys are back. Capital Connection queued up on the way. Plus, how to get those kiddos to bed at a decent hour.
Ancient Christians had a reputation for running toward the plague, not away from it. Today, there's a new plague that demands our response. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Between 1959 and 2016, life expectancy in the U.S. rose from 69.9 years to 78.9 years. Now, most people know that, but did you know that since then, it's reversed course? A new study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association paints a portrait of a society in deep trouble. For the third year in a row now, the average life expectancy in the U.S. has declined. The last time American life expectancy declined 3 years in a row, World War I and the Spanish flu pandemic killed 675,000 Americans. Of course, in the early 1900s, there were no antibiotics. The germ theory of disease had only recently been widely accepted in the U.S., and the kind of public health and sanitation measures that we now take for granted were still in their infancy. And today, the U.S. spends a far larger share of its GDP on healthcare than any other nation. Yet, other wealthy nations are not experiencing the same reversal in life expectancy. In fact, people in some less wealthy nations like Costa Rica have significantly longer life expectancies than Americans. So whatever is causing Americans to die younger and younger has nothing at all to do with medical science or technology. As a recent Washington Post article describes, the causes behind this dramatic shift are things like suicide, drug overdoses, liver disease, and dozens of other causes. These causes are summed up in a phrase, deaths from despair, that was coined by researchers Ann Case and Angus Deaton. As a public health expert told the Post, people are feeling worse about themselves and their futures. That's leading them to do things that are self-destructive and not promoting health. The same hopelessness leading to the uptick in deaths from despair is also driving what I call acts of desperation that we also see in our culture. In this category, I'd put acts of mass violence or abuse and the increasing number of young people willing to self-mutilate in a pursuit for their identity. This sad story brings to mind Matthew 9:36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The Greek word that is here translated compassion describes a visceral reaction, not a mere sentiment. In other words, it's like Jesus felt this one in the gut. His response to their plight was to tell his disciples, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, starting with themselves. Our current epidemic of dying young should elicit a similar response from us. As Chuck Colson liked to say, it's time for the church to be the church. Like our Lord, we must see the harassed and helpless around us. We must feel their suffering as if it were our own. And we must pray that God would show us how he'd have us respond. If, as Paul told the Athenians, God has determined the time and place where we live, we cannot be spectators in this cultural moment to the unfolding tragedies around us. God has placed us here to act. Now, this doesn't mean we'll solve the problem any more than those who ran toward the plague in ancient Rome could stop it. The restoration of all things will only be complete when Christ returns in glory. But we can offer a preview of that restoration here and now. That's what we, and only we, have to offer the world. If we can't bring ourselves to do this, then something else is terribly wrong, this time with us. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour, the weekend is here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The system bringing you some snow and sprinkles today will be departing tonight. In its wake, high pressure builds into the area this weekend with some sunshine. And after a cold start, temperatures are trending up. Our call for this afternoon is for a cloudy sky, a steadier light snow near Lake Ontario and in central New York, giving total accumulations of a few inches there. Elsewhere, just flurries and sprinkles by and large with little accumulation, high temperatures 30s. Tonight, patchy clouds, a few flurries. Lake effect snow could deposit a couple inches. Parts of central New York, low temps, mostly 20s. Tomorrow morning, clouds and flurries for the Lake Belt areas, but it'll turn out fairly sunny. Cold, mid-20s to the mid-30s. Not as cold Sunday by the afternoon with some sunshine and a high in the mid-30s to the mid-40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and the birthday boy, Michael Geer, at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Michael, I'm going to be a good host and not mention your age, but it's a major milestone, sir. Thank you for being along today.
Well, glad to do so, and people can tell from my gray hair that at least I'm a little older than college age.
Yeah, he's not quite getting the senior citizen discount at Bob Evans yet, but won't be long. Well, hey, Jason, let's begin with you. Of course, much of New York State really zeroed in on what took place in Buffalo this week with the resignation of Bishop Richard Malone. Kind of was a story that we'd been anticipating for a while. And even though, you know, you're not a Catholic, I'm not a Catholic, a lot of our listeners aren't Catholic, there are lessons here for anybody in a position of authority. And it's not just the Catholic Church here, public schools, private schools, Protestant churches, everybody dealing with this. What are the lessons learned here? What are some of the silver linings in this sad saga?
Well, you know, I think the lesson for all of us is, you know, sin always takes you further than you want to go, costs you more than you want to pay, and keeps you longer than you want to stay. You know, I learned that as a teenager in the first Bible-believing church that I attended, and you're certainly seeing that in many institutions today that have been engaged in the cover-up of sin. It's catching up with them, and it's something that we are going to be held accountable for.
Yeah. In light of this, Michael, Governor Wolf has signed historic child abuse protection laws that increases the statute of limitations. This was born out of that grand jury report in your state on pedophile priests and just how systemic a problem it is. What will these reforms accomplish? Do they adequately address the problem here?
Well, ultimately, I don't think there's any way to adequately address the problem. I mean, we're talking about decades and decades of wrong doing by certain individuals, and then some cover-up by the church. And as Jason just said it, and as you said at the outset, it goes beyond the Catholic Church. But that grand jury report dealt with that. So it does not go back. It does not change the statute of limitation and allow complaints to be filed or lawsuits to be filed beyond for events that happened in the past. What it does do is look forward and says, okay, if these sorts of situations happen in the future, there's going to be either an elimination of the statute of limitations in certain cases or an extension of that. And that will at least, I think, provide some opportunity for justice going forward.
Yeah, and included in that is some mandatory reporting changes. So it affects anybody who works with kids in Pennsylvania. Big story in New York, Jason, the state facing a more than $6 billion deficit next year. How do you fear, and I use those words carefully, how do you fear the governor and the Democrats who control the legislature will try to attempt to fill that hole?
Two words, cannabis and casinos. That seems to be the direction that immediately is coming out, is there's talk of legalizing recreational marijuana and increasing the number of casinos in our state. They can tax those vices and be able to draw some revenue in. Now, that's only a small fraction of what they're going to need to get to this $6.1 billion deficit covered. Ultimately, they've got to rein in the Medicaid spending, which is where this problem is coming from. But as we have, as a state, seen the expansion of Medicaid services to include things like even sex change surgeries, they don't appear to have the appetite to rein it in anytime soon. Instead, the Speaker of the Assembly, Carl Hastie, has indicated that likely tax increases, or as he calls them, revenue raisers, are coming in the attempt to close that budget deficit.
And not just on the upper class. This is a tax hike on middle class New Yorkers as well, correct?
Well, we don't know. Time will tell what they're ultimately going to do. But I think that one way or another, the taxpayers of New York State are going to be footing the bill for really the poor habits of those in Albany.
All right. Michael, on your website, you have articulated several ways that people in Pennsylvania can, in real tangible ways, work to protect and promote life. Briefly explain what some of those are.
Yeah, there's so many different ways, but we've highlighted three that really involve sort of the realm that we're engaged in here at Pennsylvania Family Institute. And first of all, that does involve, especially with our Pennsylvania Family Council and our PAC, just encouraging people to be good citizens and to get out and vote. And for those that are pro-life in their ethic, to include that in how they vote, to put people in office that support the sanctity of life from conception until natural death. The next thing would be involving day in and day out. We have a full-time legislature here in Pennsylvania that is looking at legislation both that can enhance the pro-life movement and the pro-life ethic, but also things that would undermine it, things like telemed abortions and those sorts of things. And so we would encourage people to be good citizens in terms of communicating with their elected officials, which we help them do. And then the third thing is just to be speaking out about these issues and to be talking to others about these things and to engage with organizations, whether it's pregnancy care centers that work in the front lines or with organizations like Pennsylvania Family Institute that are working on the legislative side of things.
Yeah, everybody's got a part to play in this, don't we? Jason, yeah. You have a vision to see New York become a pro-life state someday. How long do you think it will take? Because you look out there right now, you say, that'll never happen. How long do you think that, realistically speaking, that will take to happen, New York to become a pro-life state?
Well, you know, ultimately only the Lord knows, but I believe that it will take a generational shift. If you look at just where we're at right now, New York does seem very dark on the life issue. But nationally, we're seeing some very positive signs. And I think in time, that will look better in New York as well. But before even legislatively things are going to have to change, electorally things are going to have to change. And it takes time to change legislative seats. All of those things are undergirded, though, by a spiritual transformation that has to occur in our state. So who knows if the Lord might pour out his spirit next year in 2020, or if it's going to be a more generational shift. But we know that with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen. And one more sanctity of life issue, Michael, kind of concerning what's happening in York, Pennsylvania, at the Planned Parenthood facility there. What's going on?
Well, they recently failed state inspections in terms of health and safety inspections there at the Planned Parenthood clinic. And one of the things, though, that they're doing in response to that is engaging in what are called telemed or long-distance abortions, where doctors are consulting with the women to give them the RU-46 chemical abortion, doing it by video or Skype type of situations. And this is something that we think is not really legitimate under Pennsylvania law. It's going to be looked into, but that's what they're talking about at the York Planned Parenthood. One of the reasons, again, that we encourage people to be engaged in the pro-life issue, because these things crop up in local communities. And so the March for Life that we're doing next May is something where we can have a voice across the state to say, let's stand for life.
Yeah, know what's going on in your communities and at the state capitals. That's why we do this program every week. Jason, switching gears a little bit, you've recently named a new legislative chaplain at New Yorkers. Explain who this guy is, what his qualifications are, why this position is so necessary to the overall success of your ministry.
Yeah, recently announced that Pastor Eric Walton, who's a Capital Region pastor, will be serving as our next legislative chaplain. And we believe it matters because we exist as an organization to influence not just legislation, but legislators for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to have a pastoral presence in the halls of our Capitol. While we are lobbying legislation, we also want to be influencing the hearts of our elected officials with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we charge this legislative chaplain with, is to lead the Bible study, lead the outreach, lead the visitation that occurs in the halls of Albany in hopes of reaching members and staff with the good news of the gospel.
Awesome. I love where your head's at, Jason. And then finally, Michael, 20 million fewer Americans are giving to charity today than did 20 years ago. There was an interesting article this week that suggests God might have something to do with this. Explain the connection between generosity and religiosity, if you would.
Well, the whole notion of charity is really a Christian concept. If you look at world history and look at giving, even the fact that the United States is historically been the most generous country in the world in terms of giving is based out of Christian charity, concepts that come from the gospel, come from our biblical understanding. And the decline in giving and the numbers of people who are giving is directly correlated to less church attendance in America, a decline in what would be described by some as religiosity, but really adherence to Christian ethics and Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And so as Christianity seems to be, in some people's views and measures, on the decline, so we see, too, with charitable giving and giving even in churches.
And we know this is the time of year when folks like to give. And if you want to give to worthy organizations, both of you have wonderful websites. Where can they find you, Jason, online?
NewYorkFamilies.org.
And in Pennsylvania, Michael?
PAFamily.org.
Okay, guys, great show. As always, it's called Capital Connection, comes your way every Friday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The system bringing you some snow and sprinkles today will be departing tonight. In its wake, high pressure builds into the area this weekend with some sunshine. And after a cold start, temperatures are trending up. Our call for this afternoon is for a cloudy sky, a steadier light snow near Lake Ontario and in central New York, giving total accumulations of a few inches there. Elsewhere, just flurries and sprinkles by and large with little accumulation. High temperatures, 30s. Tonight, patchy clouds, a few flurries. Lake effect snow could deposit a couple inches. Parts of central New York, low temps, mostly 20s. Tomorrow morning, clouds and flurries for the Lake Belt areas, but it'll turn out fairly sunny. Cold, mid-20s to the mid-30s. Not as cold Sunday by the afternoon with some sunshine and a high in the mid-30s to the mid-40s.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, have yourself a fantastic weekend. Finally this Friday, ever get tired of trying to get the kiddos to go to sleep when they're supposed to? I see those hands. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has a way to add some brevity to the bedtime bother.
Comedian Sean Johnson's new Instagram video is going viral.
Why are you out of bed?
I can't sleep. It is past your bedtime. Okay.
In it, he demonstrates the length children will go to delay bedtime.
Back to bed.
I'm just getting this. I lost this down.
I was scared, but then I wasn't very scared, but then I got scared again.
I was just going to come down and put my shoes by the door, so in the morning they're already by the door.
To your room.
I know. I was just wondering, like, whether if they were going to impeach Trump.
How do you know about that?
The video has over 350,000 views and more than 11,000 comments.
I was just going to say, if you wake up in the morning and come in my room, say, good morning, I love you.
No, stay upstairs.
Trying to. I can't stop. I can't help it.
Many parents saying the video is spot on. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
I would concur. Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Friday. As always, thanks for coming along. Have a great weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.